Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you very much, Chloe. And as Michael has already intimated this morning, we're beginning a new sermon series, Spiritual Disciplines for a Healthy Church. Many of you will know, of course, that we've recently been moving towards a more formal church membership here at Ambassador. And of course, if somebody's going to join a church, then they need to know what it actually is that they are joining. And so we start a new sermon series this morning, which aims to really explain why we do some of the things that we do here at Ambassador. Usually at Ambassador, of course, in our average sermon series, we tend to take a passage of the Bible and we explain that and try and give some application and meaning for ourselves. However, in this particular series, we're going to take much more of a thematic or much more of a topical approach. And so this morning we come to look at the theme, why do we gather? So last year I posted the following meme on Facebook. So it imagines a pastor saying, I'm going to 26 meetings a week to figure out how to have in-person church. And then the people respond, we're watching church on our couch, wearing pyjamas and drinking coffee, and we can mute you. We're good, thank you very much. After I posted this, at least one person from the church, who shall remain nameless, messaged me to say that they would never ever mute me. But that if you watch the service at 1.5 speed, then you can get through it an awful lot quicker. And really all of this highlights the fact that COVID has made us consider one very important question as a church, which is, why do we gather? Why do we gather? I mean, gathering as a church, of course, is something that we may find hard at the best of times, given the stresses and busyness of life in Hong Kong. But COVID has really brought it to the fore for us. We can pray for one another over the phone. We can do our home groups, for instance, on Zoom. We can watch services from all over the world on live stream or pre-recorded. And so why do we need to gather in person every Sunday morning? For some of us, maybe we were surprised during COVID just how quickly we actually got out of the habit of meeting together. For some of us, presumably, probably the habit of a lifetime. For others of us, we maybe had anxieties about COVID and therefore we didn't want to meet together with other Christians. Some of us, maybe through the whole process, realized that we didn't actually miss church as much as we thought that we might. And so we began to wonder, well, what is the big deal about meeting together weekly as God's people? Well, of course, we need to say that we need to be grateful for the technology that enabled us to meet online during a time like COVID. But yet, of course, those key questions remain. Why do we gather? Why is it important for Christians to actually meet together in person anyway in this technological day and age? Why should we prioritize that in our weekly schedules? Why is the weekly gathering of God's people important for us? Well, this morning there on your outlines, I basically like to share with you 6 reasons from God's Word, the Bible, about why we gather. They are in no particular order, except for the fact that the first few are all based on part of our key passage this morning, Hebrews 10, verse 24 and verse 25, and then we'll sort of gradually expand out from there. So why should we gather? Well, number one then, gathering is a command. Of course, this brings us to Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25, probably the most well-known verses in the whole Bible on gathering together. So the writer to the Hebrews says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And of course, the context here, as elsewhere in the New Testament, is the weekly gathering of Christians for singing and teaching and prayer and corporate worship, and much like the gathering that we have here this morning. Although, of course, the principle of gathering together could also be applied more widely than that. And the writer tells them not to give up meeting together. In their case, this was actually because of the threat of persecution. They were being persecuted, some of their property was being confiscated, and various other aspects of persecution as well. And therefore, they would have been tempted to have stopped meeting with other Christians and identifying with them. But yet, God knows that they need to gather. And so he gives this command for their own good. Now, one question that's obviously relevant for us then this morning, especially after this last year, is, well, are we breaking this command during COVID? Are Christians being disobedient to God by not meeting together in person during the pandemic? And I think that the answer to that question has to be no. We need to remember that the context here in Hebrews is when the people had the opportunity to gather, but yet they were choosing not to. And so that's very different to the circumstances we have been in recently, where the government has said that the whole of society is to limit their gatherings. And Christians have complied with this out of a desire to love their neighbours, to be a good witness, and to submit to the governing authorities that have been instituted by God. Now, of course, if Christians had been specifically targeted by the restrictions, then that would be a very different story. But yet that is not what has happened. And so we've been right to obey the government and not to meet during the pandemic. But what this command does mean for us is that staying away from church and refusing to attend under normal circumstances is wrong. And we need to be clear on that. We also need to remember that God's commands are not burdensome. So 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. This is saying that one reason why we should be obedient to God's command to come to church is out of love for God. It reminds us that God's commands are actually given for our own good. If we find church burdensome, then we are missing something somewhere along the way. Obeying God, having God's commands, is a great privilege. How much worse would it be if we had no idea at all what God asked of his people? Well, we need to move on. And we also see, number two, that gathering is preventative. So the reason that God wants us to gather as his people is actually for our own good. Not gathering is harmful to us. And one of the ways that gathering is good for us is that it helps to prevent us from falling away from Christ. This, of course, is the context here in Hebrews. They were tempted to fall away because of persecution, and the antidote to that was to keep on gathering together and make sure that they didn't neglect that. So how does that work in each of our lives, maybe? Well, I can remember someone once saying to me that not going to church was either a portal to sin or the result of sin. It's either a portal to sin or a result of sin. And what that person meant was that if we don't go to church, then normally we fail to spend time with other Christians. We tend to go off the boil spiritually. We grow cold maybe in our hearts towards God's word, and so we're more likely to fall into sin and temptation. And so in that way, not gathering with God's people is a portal into sin. On the other hand, not going to church can also be the result of sin in our lives. So maybe we get ensnared by sin and temptation. That makes us feel guilty. We think that if we end up going to church, then we'll just feel more guilty. And then maybe the evil one comes along and also whispers in our ear, surely it would be hypocritical for you to go to a church if you think about the lifestyle you are leading at the moment. And so we end up staying away and neglecting to meet with other Christians. But either way, the issue is exactly the same, that not meeting with God's people regularly harms us spiritually. We need to realize that gathering with God's people is preventative. It is God's plan to help keep us on track as Christians. The end of Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says that we are to encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And the day it's talking about there is when the day when Christ will come again. And so it's saying that if we look to the future, if we look to the future coming of Christ, if we look to the day that will one day come, and we ask the question, well, how am I going to keep going as a Christian? How will I reach that day? Then the answer to that is that we are to meet with Christians every week. Church is a preservative. It is how God preserves his people and keeps them walking faithfully with him and growing. Non-attendance is often the result of sin, or it is a portal or a gateway into sin, and therefore it's spiritually harmful for us. Number three, gathering is encouraging. So this is one of the main reasons we're given in God's word for meeting together with other Christians, mutual encouragement. We go to be encouraged ourselves, and we also go to encourage other people. Again, this is Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Note that the negative command in these verses is that we are not to give up meeting together. And then its positive counterpart is that we are to encourage one another instead. The clear implication really is that a reason for meeting together is to be encouragement. That's why Christians are to meet. We can see it again expanded in verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How do we do this spurring on? Well, we do it by not neglecting to meet together, but rather by encouraging each other through our meetings. Saying we're to strategize. We're to think through practically how we can spur one another on in our walk with Christ. Of course, we can't spur one another on if we're not actually meeting with other Christians. Therefore, we are to gather together with them for mutual encouragement. What is it about our weekly gatherings that is to be encouraging? Well, we can see a few things in God's word. Certainly, one of them is that we are to be encouraged as we hear the scriptures unpacked and God's word taught. Romans 15 verse 4 speaks about the encouragement of the scriptures that brings us hope. It's worth saying that actually hearing God's word preached live is a very good reason to come to church in person. Of course, it's great that we have so many wonderful resources online and we can benefit from great teachers and preachers all over the world. But one danger of that is that it can sometimes pander to our individualism. We can pick a preacher that we like. We can watch them at our leisure. We can turn them off if they get boring or start saying something that we don't like. We are very much in control of that whole process. But one of the great advantages of coming together to church in person with the rest of God's family is that we get to hear preaching along with everyone else. It's a communal activity for us as God's people. And we need to listen to the whole thing. Sometimes it's those bits that are boring, maybe, or those bits that we don't like that occasionally are exactly what we need to hear from God. Of course, there's lots of other things about our church gatherings which are to be encouraging as well. We're encouraged as we meet with other people, as we speak with them, as we get to know them, as we watch them singing and praising God in spite of maybe some of the struggles that they are going through. We just see their perseverance, and that's deeply enriching and encouraging for us. We're encouraged as we sing together corporately, which is something that we can't do on our own online. We are encouraged as people use their spiritual gifts for our own good, and they are hopefully encouraged as they see us using the spiritual gifts that we have for their good and for God's glory. We're encouraged as we take communion, something we will do next week, and again something that we can't possibly do on our own. Often one question that I get from parents, especially at the 9:30 service, is, well, what's the point in me coming to church with my young kids? It's a real hassle for me to get there with my infants, and then when I arrive, I spend most of my time in creche. Why should I still come? And I always say, well, just your presence here, just showing up, is a real encouragement to us. Hopefully you're also building good habits for the future, and it's blessing you in all sorts of ways that you maybe can't see at the moment. But your presence here is a deep encouragement to the other people that see you coming. Your example is having a positive impact on them. Then can I also say that encouragement is actually a great reason for coming on time. Now, I know there can be lots of reasons why we may be late, but encouraging others is a great reason for coming to church on time and really planning to do that. if you're on time. That's an encouragement to our service leaders and musicians who have chosen and practiced songs for you to be edified by and to actually sing. If you're on time, then you have an opportunity to greet others and encourage them at the start of the service. That blesses them, and it also helps us as a church really connect with those who are new. If you're coming every week, when it's great to be coming every week, so well done. But how about also planning to come on time? When we come on time, that shows that we come with a desire to encourage other people, not only as a consumer to be served by them and have our own needs met. It's a great thing to aspire to. Why do we gather? Well, one reason we gather is for encouragement. Number four, we also see that gathering is what it means to be a church. This one is really vitally important for us to grasp, that we should come each week because gathering is actually who we are. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the word church actually literally means gathering. The word translated church in our Bibles, in the New Testament, is the Greek word ecclesia. It's where we get words in English like ecclesiastical or ecclesiology from, which are all things to do with the church. The word literally meant gathering or assembly. In the ancient world, it originally could refer to any old kind of gathering or assembly, but gradually, especially in the New Testament period, came to mean specifically a gathering or a meeting of Christians, and hence we get our modern word church. We can see this in lots of places where it's used in the New Testament. Here's just a few examples. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, Paul says, when you come together as a church. He's clearly envisaging there that the group of Christians will meet together and that their gathering will be called a church. We can see the same thing a few chapters later on in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 28, where he says the speaker should keep quiet in the church. Again, he's clearly envisaging the church as a gathering or a meeting of Christians. So that's what a church is. There's more references too, but a church is basically an assembly or a gathering of Christians. We often say that the church is the people, and that's right. But yet they are a people who are characterized and who are defined by their gathering together. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for his people, and not only as individuals in order to reconcile them individually to God, but he also died for them as a gathered community and also reconciled them to each other as part of a local assembly like this, as well as to himself. So this means that church is a gathering. Of course, we can think about this globally, on a sort of global or universal scale, as in all of God's people everywhere gathered before him to worship him, like we will see one day in heaven. But more often we think about this locally, in a local context, in terms of like a local gathering of Christians, maybe located here at Ambassador International Church in the Conrad Hotel, as we are this morning. But hopefully you can see the point that the church is a gathering, and therefore we need to gather together. That's who we are. We're a gathering. So let's stay with this for a few more moments. So does this mean, for instance, that we are not a church when we are scattered all throughout Hong Kong during the week? Well, the answer to that would be no. We are still ambassador during the week, but the only reason that we are ambassador during the week is because of our gathering together on Sunday mornings. The gathering is fundamental to our identity and who we are. One way to think of this, I think, would be to imagine a football team. So if you imagine Manchester United, say, are Manchester United still a football team during the week? Well, the answer to that question would be yes. But the only reason that they are a football team during the week is because they play together as a team at the weekends. It's their weekend meeting, if you like, their weekend playing together, that defines who they are as a team. It's exactly the same for us as a church. The reason why we are a church during the week is because we meet together as a church at the weekend. We are defined by our gathering together. If we were to stop meeting on a Sunday morning, then gradually who we are would be eroded until eventually it would be very hard to speak of us being a church in any meaningful way. I think this is actually one reason why COVID is so dangerous for the Christian church. The longer any church goes without meeting in person, the more that church's identity and nature as a gathering is actually undermined. It would be like, well, how much of a team would Manchester United be if they didn't actually play together for 5 years? The answer would be probably not much of a team at all. Of course, God is gracious and powerful. God knows how our circumstances at this particular moment in history, which is reassuring. Christ is building his church. His purposes cannot be thwarted. But yet we do need to be aware of the danger that meeting together is really important because it is who we are. It's part of what it means to be a church. Actually, if you have a church that never gathers, then that is not actually a church in any New Testament sense of the word at all. If we are a church, then we need to gather, and the Bible envisages us doing that every week. Now, it may be worth at this point saying that the Bible emphasizes attending the main church gathering. We've already seen that in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. So things like home groups or one-to-ones or WOW or BSF and a whole host of other things, they're all good and they all have a really important place, but yet none of them is a substitute for attending the weekly main church gathering. If you can only go to one meeting a week, then you need to be coming on a Sunday morning and not your home group, no matter how good your home group is. Now, I know there might be some exceptions to this. The person who works shifts, for instance, or a person who's unwell, or a person whose spouse perhaps makes it particularly hard for them to attend. But even there, we would say that the ideal is to try and work towards coming weekly if we possibly can. If you've got extra time and you're able to meet with other Christians in a home group, then that's wonderful, and we do think that's very important. But the priority for the Christian should always be the weekly gathering of the church family, where everybody comes together as the gathered people of God, because that is what church is, according to the New Testament. So now that we've understood something of what church is, we can move on to point five, which is gathering is where we experience God's presence. So we've just been saying that the church is a gathering, but actually we can say more than that, because we can say that the church is a gathering where we uniquely experience the presence of God. If you look at the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we see that God was present with his people in the Garden of Eden. He was present with them again in a limited way in the tabernacle and the land and in the temple in Jerusalem. Then God was especially present, of course, in the life of Christ when Jesus came to earth as God and lived as God here in the world. And then he died so we could have access to his presence once again. The question, I guess, is, well, where is God's presence in the world now? Where is it? And there's two possible answers theologically to that, of course. One is that God is present in the hearts of Christians as he indwells us through the Holy Spirit. The other possible answer is that God is present with his people when they gather as his church. And so one reason why we should gather together is that God is present with his corporate people when they gather in a unique way, in a way that we don't experience elsewhere. We can see plenty of hints of this in the Bible. Matthew 18:21, Jesus says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Jesus is present with them in a special way. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4, Paul says these words when speaking about a church meeting. "So when you are assembled, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ is present." There's other references too, that Jesus is present in a special way when his people gather corporately as his church. It's not to say that we'll have a sort of spiritual high every week. It's not to say we'll sort of have that warm spine tingling or fuzzy feeling inside. I'm not sure that God's word ever tells us to expect those kinds of things. But it is to say that God is here in our midst when we gather, and that's a wonderful and important thing. It's somewhat intangible, but God speaks as his word is preached. The Holy Spirit is active as we pray and sing, and as we care for each other. God is glorified and shown to be real by our love, which is seen amongst us. There's other places in the Bible too where it assumes that God is present with his people as they gather together. I think this has to be one reason why so-called online church always falls so far short of the real thing. Church online is fine for maintenance, and it's great that we have that option during COVID, but yeah, it's just lacking in so many ways. Someone has likened it to an online date. It's all right, but it just falls so far short of the real thing. We miss the encouragement of seeing other people's faces. We miss singing live and worshipping God together as a church family. We miss the preaching of God's word. We miss those weekly moments of connection with God that we have when we meet in person. You see, there's a uniqueness about the gathered church that cannot be reproduced online. We need to gather. So is it worth commuting in from Discovery Bay or Peng Chau or Yuen Long or wherever it is that you commute in from to meet with God's people? Well, now, of course, you could find a church that was nearer and that would be perfectly okay. But the answer is yes, it is worth coming in. Is it worth coming in when you're not rostered to serve that particular week? Well, of course, God's presence is with his gathered people, and that's a great privilege. Who would want to miss out on that? Then there's one more point I have briefly, which is that gathering is participating in God's work in the world. When we gather together weekly with God's people, that's actually one of the ways that we support and participate with God's work in the world. So I think Jesus implies this in Matthew 12 and verse 30. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Now, to be clear, when Jesus talks about gathering and scattering in this verse, he's not speaking about gathering with the local church, I don't think, but he's using a figure of speech to say that there can be no neutrality with him. He's saying that we're either for him or against him. Each Sunday morning we face a choice. Are we with Jesus or against him? Will we gather with him or will we scatter in opposition to him? Will we get out of bed and pull with him in his kingdom by meeting together with his people? Or will we go our own way and just do our own thing that day? So it's a reminder that meeting with God's people is a way of participating in his work of gathering in the world. It might be the very act of going to church each week that serves to be a good witness to our friends and family who aren't Christians. It might be what we do when we actually get here. We give money to support God's work. We pray for God's work. We hear what God is doing in different parts of the world that we just might not come into contact with if we stayed at home on our own. Either way, we're participating in God's work by gathering together weekly. Now, there's more things we could say as well, but hopefully this gives you some of the reasons that the Bible gives for meeting together with God's people weekly and the priority that that ought to have. Gathering is a command. Gathering helps stop us from falling away from Christ. Gathering is encouraging. Gathering is what it means to be the church. Gathering is where we experience God's presence. And gathering is one way that we can participate in God's work in the world. In 1918, some of you may know that the world was ravaged by the Spanish flu. And at that time, some of the states in the US ordered the closing of the churches along with other venues, much as many countries, I guess, have done during this period of pandemic over 100 years later. After they were reopened, an African-American pastor called Francis Grimke, and you can see a picture of Francis Grimke there on the screens. Incredibly enough, he'd actually formerly been a slave, and then in later life actually rose to become pastor of one of the most prestigious African-American churches in the US. So this is Francis Grimke. I think he was a Presbyterian pastor, and he wrote a number of reflections based on his experiences of the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918. This is what he wrote about the closure of the churches. Another thing has impressed me during this epidemic. It has brought out, in a way that is very gratifying, the high estimation of which the Christian church is held in the community, the large place which it really occupies in the thought of the people. The fact that for several weeks we have been shut out from the privileges of the sanctuary has brought home to us as never before what the church has really meant to us. We hadn't thought perhaps very much of the privilege while it lasted, but the moment it was taken away, we saw at once how much it meant to us. One of the gratifying things to me during this scourge has been the sincere regrets that I have heard expressed all over the city by numbers of people at the closing of the churches. The theatre goers, of course, have regretted the closing of the theatres. I do not know whether the children or the teachers have regretted the closing of the schools or not. I have heard no regrets expressed. but I do know that large numbers of people have regretted the closing of the churches. I hope that now that they are opened again, that we will all show our appreciation of their value by attending regularly upon their services. It would be a great calamity to any community to be without the public ministrations of the sanctuary. There is no single influence in a community that counts for more than the Christian church. It is one of the institutions particularly that ought to be strongly supported, that ought to be largely attended, and that ought to have the hearty endorsement and well wishes of every right-thinking man and woman within it. It is a great mistake for anyone to stand aloof from the Christian church. Everybody in the community ought to have a church home and ought to be found in that church home every week. Now, of course, that's old language, and of course, it reflects a time when almost everybody in the community would have gone to church, which is not how things are now, even in the US. But there's no missing what Francis Grimke is saying. He's saying that one of the results of the pandemic was that the people around him had realized how much they missed church and how much they needed it. I'm not sure if that's been your experience during COVID or not. Of course, we've had the advantage of online, which of course we wouldn't have ever had back in 1918. But nonetheless, the sentiment surely ought to hold for us. We ought to have missed church when we couldn't meet. If we didn't miss it, then maybe we've missed something important about the place that church ought to have in our lives. If we did miss it, then I hope that we're back now with renewed enthusiasm. If you're a Christian, do you see its importance? Will you commit to attending regularly? And if you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian, then I think you need to realise that church attendance is a good thing, but church attendance can never ever make you right with God. Only Jesus Christ can make you right with God. And the only way that that can happen is through personal trust in Christ to forgive you on the basis of his death on the cross. If you aren't a Christian, though, there are still many good reasons for you to come to church weekly. One of the best ways, actually, to see if Christianity is true or not is to see if it works. And one of the best ways of doing that is to observe the lives of Christians and to discover more about what they believe by coming along to church. The Bible also says that faith comes from hearing. And so we pray that your faith might grow as you hear God's word preached each week. For those of us who are Christians, maybe we need to identify those things that keep us from gathering with God's people. Maybe fear of COVID, maybe work, maybe children's schedules or exams or hobbies or sport. Maybe we've been burned by church in the past. Whatever it is for us, it's helpful for us to identify those things that might make us not gather, and then, of course, determine to gather again for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this morning we very simply want to give thanks for the blessing of gathering together as your people. And we give thanks that we're able to enjoy this at this moment. We pray, Lord, that we would learn the lessons of COVID and not take the blessings of meeting together in person for granted. We pray that you would help us to be committed to meeting with your people for your glory, and that we as a local church here at Ambassador might increasingly reflect your likeness to the community around us. And we ask all of these things now, in Jesus' name, amen.